Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents 50 Ways to Rewire Your Anxious Brain, Simple Skills to Soothe Anxiety and Create New Neural Pathways to Calm, by Katherine M. Pittman, Ph.D., and Maha Zayed Hoffman, Ph.D., narrated by Aaron DeWard. Introduction. If you find yourself trying to cope with anxiety or panic, daily life can be a real challenge. Anxiety and panic are not only distressing and limiting, but also others really don't understand what you are coping with. Fortunately, when coping with anxiety, you can be thankful for one thing. Scientists understand more about the neurological causes of anxiety-based disorders than any other psychological diagnoses. That means we know what is happening in the brain and can offer you some answers. Unfortunately, what we know about anxiety in the brain is not always translated into tools that people coping with anxiety can apply to their daily lives. In this book, two therapists with decades of experience treating anxiety disorders will provide you with daily exercises that translate the causes of anxiety in the brain into clearly explained practices and strategies to rewire an anxious brain. The exercises provided will not only combat the distress and limitations anxiety causes in your daily life, but will also make lasting changes in your brain that make it more resistant to anxiety. As therapists, we understand that lasting changes are what makes the strategies worthwhile. The two areas of the brain most involved in the creation of anxiety are the amygdala and the cortex. Each area learns in a completely different way. The exercises in this book are designed to provide strategies that teach each area to respond in new ways, freeing you from anxiety. One group of exercises focuses on calming the amygdala, the part of the brain that creates the emotional and physical aspects of fear, panic, and anxiety. A second set of exercises explains strategies for rewiring the amygdala, teaching it to respond differently. A third set of exercises focuses on calming the cortex so that it does not activate the emotional and physical responses from the amygdala. Finally, a fourth set of exercises helps you resist the cortex traps that often increase anxiety. The brain needs experiences to learn and change, and this book offers exercises that you can use in brief daily sessions. Many of the exercises suggest you use a journal to write down thoughts or ideas, so we recommend you obtain one to use regularly as you work through this book. The journal helps you tailor the strategies to your personal goals and concerns. Part 1. Calming the Amygdala. 1. Your Watchful Alarm System. Although the amygdala is a part of your brain small enough to fit in the palm of your hand, it has connections to various parts of the brain that allow it to have a powerful influence in our lives. The amygdala produces the defense response, a complex bodily reaction with many dimensions that is often called the flight-or-fight response. It also decides when to produce the defense response, and this can often lead to the defense response and anxiety being produced at times when it is not relevant or needed. Maybe you've already learned about this process, perhaps from Rewire Your Anxious Brain or another book, but let us briefly review how the amygdala decides to produce the defense response and how we experience it. The amygdala is both a watchful observer of what is happening in your environment and an alarm system that causes you to feel a sensation of danger if it detects something it considers a threat. The brain is organized to provide the amygdala with incoming information from our senses, from our eyes, ears, and sense of touch very quickly, and before the information is processed by our cortex. Because the cortex is the part of the brain that makes you aware of the information coming from your eyes, ears, etc., this means your amygdala gets information before you do. Yes, your amygdala hears, sees, and feels things a fraction of a second before you can. That is a strange thing to think about. The brain is wired this way, so the amygdala can provide defensive reactions very rapidly, but the amygdala is responding to raw sensory information and does not always have a clear idea of what it is responding to. For example, your amygdala may respond to that dark tangle of hair in the shower as if it were a spider and produce the defense response. Your heart pounds, your muscles tense, and you jump back in alarm before the visual information gets processed in your cortex a fraction of a second later, and you see the details to recognize a tangle of hair. The amygdala will also receive the hair tangle information from the cortex, and the amygdala will stop producing the defense response. But it will take some time before your body returns to a completely relaxed state. For example, your heart rate will be more rapid, and the adrenaline released will still be influencing your body for several minutes. The amygdala can help us respond quickly. Perhaps it has saved your life on the freeway when you reacted quickly to a vehicle moving into your lane. The amygdala can be a lifesaver by producing rapid reactions in your body before you have time to think. But remember that it can also respond when no danger exists. The amygdala can be wrong. In your journal, take a moment to reflect on your experiences with your own watchful amygdala. Can you think of a time when you were startled or frightened by something that turned out to be harmless? Maybe your amygdala reacted to a sound, a sight, or a touch of some kind, but the reaction was not needed because no danger was present. Can you think of situations in which your amygdala reacted to something as though it posed a danger and your amygdala was mistaken? Have you noticed this happen to others? Write down some examples in your journal. Do these situations help you recognize that the amygdala does not always interpret situations correctly? Be careful not to assume the amygdala is always accurate about the danger it responds to. The amygdala is wired to react quickly, not always accurately. Certain emotions are often experienced when the amygdala activates the defense response: dread, fear, anxiety, or panic. These emotions are very real, but can you see how it is possible for a person to have real feelings, such as dread or fear, when no danger exists? This awareness that the feeling of being in danger is not always correct is a useful lesson to keep in mind in the process of learning new ways to respond to your amygdala. Knowing that the amygdala does not always see or interpret things correctly is important to keep in mind. You can't always trust your amygdala. This is the first step on the path to learning how to tame your amygdala. 2. Communicating calm to the amygdala. Once scientists recognized the role of the amygdala in anxiety, we were able to find new ways to manage anxiety. First, it helped that we knew the location in our brain where the feelings of anxiety, fear, dread, and panic were initiated. Once we knew where it was, we could learn how it reacts. Brain imaging techniques allowed us to observe when the amygdala was activated and when its activation decreased. We could put a person in a functional MRI machine and observe how the amygdala reacted to different interventions. Finding ways to calm the amygdala was such a relief. As therapists, we regret to inform you that nothing we tell you about your anxiety has much effect on the amygdala. The amygdala does not learn from logical explanations like, "This audience is friendly," and "You have no reason to fear speaking in front of them." Similarly, when your friends and family say, "Just calm down, everything will turn out all right," the amygdala does not stop producing the defense response. You probably know this from experience. Even what you've learned in this book so far has had no direct effect on calming or changing your amygdala. But there are ways to calm the amygdala. Surprisingly simple and inexpensive interventions have been shown to make fairly rapid changes occur in the amygdala. Perhaps the most surprising one to most people is slow, deep breathing techniques, which have been shown to calm the amygdala faster than alprazolam. When a person uses specific breathing techniques while in an fMRI machine, we can actually see a reduction in activation of the amygdala. These changes, which occur within minutes after the person has begun deep breathing, occur faster than a medication can be digested and transported through your bloodstream up to the amygdala. The problem is that few people believe that engaging in an activity as simple as breathing can be helpful with anxiety. Now that we know the importance of the amygdala in producing anxiety, and we can watch the amygdala in action, we have learned how helpful deep breathing can be. Breathing is so simple that many people are skeptical and miss the opportunity to make use of this free and readily available resource. How can a simple process like deep breathing calm the amygdala? Breathing techniques help turn off the defense response by turning on the parasympathetic nervous system. They start the processes that counter the sympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic part of our nervous system is associated with producing the fight-or-flight response, making the body ready for action, while the parasympathetic part allows the body to rest and digest. The shift from sympathetic to parasympathetic activation in the body, which you can accomplish through deep breathing, decreases the excitability of the amygdala. Deep breathing to calm the amygdala. Sit in a relaxed position. Take in a slow, deep breath. It isn't necessary to breathe specifically through your nose or your mouth, just whatever is comfortable. Holding your breath is not recommended. Transition directly from inhaling to exhaling when your lungs feel completely full. Breathe in slowly, filling your lungs completely, and if you do so, your stomach, not your chest, should expand as your diaphragm is pushed downward to allow the lungs to fill. Exhale slowly, perhaps pursing your lips. Emphasizing a complete exhale is most important in activating the parasympathetic system. Slow and deepen your breathing to about 5 breaths, including inhale and exhale, per minute. Don't think of slow, deep breathing as turning off the amygdala. The amygdala is full of dynamic processes and can be activated again by various situations or thoughts. Think of breathing exercises working more like air conditioning does in your home. The air may need to come on again from time to time to cool everything down. The amygdala activates the sympathetic nervous system to support the defense response, which you are countering by activating the parasympathetic nervous system. Use deep breathing when you feel the defense response or anxiety ramping up, But also, use it repeatedly during the day to reset your general stress level by activating the parasympathetic response. Sometimes, it only takes 3 to 5 minutes to feel a reset process occurring, and sometimes you need to take at least 15 minutes to reestablish relaxation. Don't underestimate the usefulness of deep, slow breathing. Remember that it gives you a way to communicate a message to the amygdala in language it understands, by initiating a parasympathetic response that produces relaxation in the body. When the body relaxes, amygdala activation decreases. 3. Complete the defense response. Jean had most of her bills set up to be automatically paid through her checking account, but one month, she discovered that a payment for her life insurance policy had not been paid for some reason. She received a notice that her policy had been canceled and became quite alarmed. She had been paying into this policy for years, had invested a great deal of money in maintaining it, and knew that, at her age, purchasing a new policy would be more expensive and unlikely to give the same benefits. Jean began to imagine the difficulties her family would have without the policy in place. She called her bank to ask why the payment had not been sent. She was transferred to several people to determine what had happened. Then she had to call the insurance company to see if there was a way to reinstate the policy. During this process, she felt a great deal of stress. She was placed on hold several times, during which she worried they would not be able to help her. In the end, the error was corrected, and the policy was reinstated. Jean eventually hung up the phone and told herself that the situation was handled. The crisis was over. But Jean's amygdala had activated the defense response, and the defense response was not over. Jean's body and mood had been strongly affected by the situation. Her heart rate and muscle tension had increased, and she felt irritable. She didn't feel like eating anything and found it difficult to focus. This was because her body had been prepared to respond physically in some way, and talking on the phone didn't require that. Stress and anxiety remained in her body. If you face a threatening situation, whether it is a spouse who is angry at you or a flat tire you discover as you plan to drive home from work, remember that your amygdala is likely to produce the defense response. Even after the situation is resolved, it can help to complete the defense response cycle by engaging in some physical activity resembling flight or fight to return your body to a relaxed state. The best way to complete the defense response is some sort of exercise, since physical exertion is what the defense response prepares your body to do. But you can also turn off the defense response by countering it with the parasympathetic activation produced by deep breathing or doing some yoga. Even getting a good night's sleep can count as resetting the body, but often it is difficult to get a good night's sleep if you have not done something more physical with your body first. When your defense response is activated, do you complete it? During the last week or two, think of at least 3 times when you think your amygdala activated the defense response. For each situation, write in your journal about what happened, noting why you think your defense response was activated. What did you feel that indicated the defense response? Then, note whether you did something to complete the defense response, even if it took you some time to do so. If the situation required you to complete the defense response in some way, you should count that. For example, I walked home due to a flat tire. Note whether completing the defense response helped reduce the anxiety and stress in your body. How long do you think the feelings of stress lingered? Here are some ways to complete the defense response next time it's activated. Aerobic exercise of some kind, including walking, dancing, climbing stairs, tensing and relaxing muscles for several minutes, shaking your body all over as if you are shaking water off each arm, leg, etc., doing some yoga, deep, slow breathing for 10 to 15 minutes, a good night of restful sleep, 7 to 9 hours, getting a massage, getting a long hug, snuggling with someone, having a good laughing session, having a good cry, hitting a punching bag or beating a rug, petting or cuddling a pet. Even when the situation itself may seem to be resolved, stress and anxiety remain in your brain and body unless you make a deliberate effort to complete the defense response. Finish it. 4. Relax away the tension. When the amygdala is activated by something, such as a growling dog, a threatening remark, or a car coming into your lane, muscle tension is one of the first reactions you may notice in your body. When the defense response is initiated by the amygdala, your body prepares to respond. Try to tune into the specifics of what happens for you personally when the defense response is activated. Do you grit your teeth, tense your stomach, or bounce your legs? These involuntary reactions make sense if you recognize that the amygdala is designed to produce fleeing or fighting. But these responses do not fit some of the situations that trigger the amygdala. When your boss criticizes your work, or you are preparing to give a presentation to a committee, the defense response preparing you to fight or flee is not particularly helpful. In addition, muscle tension can be exhausting when it is sustained and can leave you with soreness and stiffness. Luckily, you can take steps to reduce muscle tension, and the very process of relaxing your muscles sends a message of safety to your amygdala. When you first begin using muscle relaxation strategies, try to reduce tension in all parts of your body, from your forehead down to your toes. But as you become more aware of the areas of your body that are most likely to become tense, you can focus your relaxation efforts on those specific areas. With practice, you will find that you can relax most of your body quite quickly, and then give special attention to the muscle groups that need it. Relaxing your body can help calm strong emotions, because our experience of emotions, which occurs in the cortex, is strongly influenced by the physical reactions we experience in our bodies. It also helps to counter the amygdala-activated defense response and reduce your anxiety. Practicing progressive muscle relaxation is a great way to reduce tension in your body. Progressive muscle relaxation. You can do this exercise lying down or sitting up. It may help to listen to the instructions slowly. Have your eyes closed or focused softly on a certain point. Start by taking 5 or 6 deep, slow breaths to help relax your body. During this entire process, continue to practice slow, deep breathing. Now, focus on tensing each part of your body for 5 seconds, and then let go. For example, start with your forehead, your eyelids, your lips, your jaw, and your tongue. Squeeze each set of muscles for 5 seconds, and then let go. Feel the difference between tension and relaxation. Next, focus on your neck and shoulder muscles. Tip your head back and tense your neck. To relax your neck, roll your head around your neck to the right and the left. Move to your shoulders. Tense your shoulders by raising your shoulders up to your ears and then relaxing. Now, move to your hands and arms. Make your hands into fists and squeeze your fists. Then, bring your fists to your chest to tense your arms. Then, release your fists, drop your arms, and notice the difference between tension and relaxation. Next, move to your buttocks by squeezing these muscles for a count of five, and then let go. Continue to notice the difference between tension and relaxation. Make sure you are continuing deep, slow breathing throughout this exercise. Move on to your thighs and calves. Push your feet into the floor. Squeeze your thigh and leg muscles as tightly as you can for 5 seconds. And then let go. Notice the relaxation. Lastly, move to your feet. Point and curl your toes under while squeezing the muscles for 5 seconds. And then let go. Finally, focus on letting all tension drain out of your body. Breathe deeply and slowly. At first, practice this twice a day. After you learn which muscles get most tense, focus on tensing and relaxing only those to complete relaxation more quickly. Then, focus on relaxing your whole body at once. Use relaxation frequently. If you are feeling tense or anxious, you can simply stop, take a few deep breaths, and then tense and relax any problem muscles, getting to a state of relaxation quickly. This calms the amygdala. 5. Imagery for relaxation. When the amygdala activates and you feel stress in your body, shifting attention away from the threat can help you create calm. We have shared various strategies for making changes in your body that promote relaxation, because when the body is calm, a message of calm is also communicated to the amygdala. Using guided imagery is another strategy that can help calm the body and the amygdala. You can never have too many strategies for creating calmness, and guided imagery is a very pleasant one. Imagine being in a stressful public space, but being transported elsewhere through your headphones. Guided imagery or visualization is a technique in which you practice visualizing yourself in calming locations, like a peaceful beach or sunflower field. The visualization encourages your body and mind to enter a relaxed state. Research suggests that guided imagery helps reduce anxiety and promote relaxation. Even though you don't specifically focus on each muscle group, imagining yourself being in a calming setting provides relief from bodily tension and amygdala-activating thoughts. This approach is especially useful for people who have a creative imagination. Anxious people who are creative thinkers and who have a strong ability to imagine situations in detail are often very gifted at worsening their anxiety by imagining scenarios that produce a great deal of distress. Are you very skilled at frightening your amygdala by imagining disastrous situations?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?